Now to a Conservative Party led by a woman facing an existential crisis when she took over. No, I'm not talking about the Liberal Party here in Australia under Susan Lee. I'm talking about the Japanese Liberal Democratic Party, the LDP, which in last weekend's election won by a landslide, the largest majority, in fact, since it was founded in the mid-1950s. It's led by the country's first female Prime Minister, Sanae Takaichi, who has transformed the party's fortunes since she took over last October. Taking inspiration from Margaret Thatcher, she's cast herself as something of an Iron Lady, talking tough on the threat posed by the rise of China. The Economist this week labelled her the world's most powerful woman. I've been talking with Shingo Yamagami, a former Japanese ambassador to Australia and an informal advisor to the Prime Minister. And I began by asking him, why is she so popular?
I think she is regarded as an agent of change. And the Japanese politics has been in stalemate for several years, especially after former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was gone. So we had a series of, I would say, three former prime ministers were kind of, you know, weak and meek leaders. But in that regard, she exudes an image. She is very, very different. So there are a number of politicians who just would like to become prime minister. But in her case, she would like to change things for the better. And in order to do that, she became prime minister. And many public is welcoming arrival of such a politician.
Now, she's got a bit of sort of charisma, hasn't she? In her youth, she had this love of motorbikes. She played drums in a heavy metal band at university. She's cut from a different cloth than a lot of Japan's traditional leaders. You have known her for many years, going back decades. Tell us about her.
Yes, I have known her over 40 years. You know, she is of my generation. And for the first time I met her was in Washington, D.C., when she was working as an assistant to Congresswoman named Pat Schroeder, a Democrat from the state of Colorado. And I was working at a starting diplomat in our embassy in Washington, D.C. We had lunch together one time, and she struck me as a very, you know, strong working woman as a backbone. And since then, you know, I have maintained contact, and she became, you know, such an established politician over a number of decades. I am very much impressed. What makes her so different from other politicians is she was not born to a political family. As you may know, we have a number of second generation and third generation politicians in Japan, but she was born to an ordinary family with a salaryman father and policeman mother, and she worked her way up in a very prestigious university in Kobe, and she entered into politics. So in other words, she strikes many as a woman next door, and that down-to-earth nature is appealing very well to the voting public.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, she's not particularly youthful. I mean, she is in her mid-60s, but she has been very, very popular with younger voters. Why this appeal to the youth of Japan?
What's interesting to me is that, you know, so-called old media, or you can call it a legacy media, tends to be critical or politician like her, because she is, you know, right of center, you know, conservative politician. Her political background does not appear very well to traditional media. But the younger generation, they are not necessarily inundated by the legacy media or its influence, and they are following X. They are watching YouTube programs, and they have a completely different mindset nowadays. So it's just amazing that her approval rate among people in their 20s reaches higher than 90%. It is really unprecedented.
Now, as you know, anti-incumbency is such a feature of established democracies around the world at the moment. A rejection of traditional parties. It's fueling the rise of populism in America, in Europe, in Australia. She is the figurehead of a long-established party. The Liberal Democratic Party has had a virtual monopoly on power since its founding in 1955. How then has she bucked that global trend?
I think my reading of the election last weekend, and LDP won, Not because the party itself was popular. LDP could have a resounding victory just because of the presence of Prime Minister Takaichi. So if something happens, in their way, for example, for some members of the Liberal Democratic Party to block Takaichi's agenda, they have to pay the price. So we have to wait and see how effective the resurgence of LDP is, although they are now occupying, can you believe, 316 seats out of 465. So more than two-thirds by one particular party. It is also quite unprecedented.
It gives them this supermajority, doesn't it? And it gives them the ability to override the upper chamber. Another sort of global trend, in a few elections over the past 12 months, we've seen a Trump factor. It helped Mark Carney get elected as Prime Minister in Canada. I think it helped Anthony Albanese get re-elected as Prime Minister here in Australia. Trump visited Japan late last year. She embraced him. She clearly has not paid any price for that. How does the Trump factor work in Japan?
I think it's an interesting question. And from our perspective, for some Europeans, they are rushing to Beijing just because they are having difficulty in their relationship with Washington, D.C. We don't see the situation that matter because U.S. continue to be the most important, the sole ally to Japan, where China, although its economic potentials remains big, but it poses security issues from time to time. So there is no comparison between Washington and Beijing in that regard. So our position is, while maintaining robust and strong alliance between Japan and U.S., how can we strengthen our negotiating position vis-a-vis Beijing? I think that's upfront on the mindset of Takaichi and her supporters. Incidentally, Takaichi is going to Washington next month. She's going to have a summit meeting with Donald Trump, and that is critical because it is right before Donald Trump makes a trip to Beijing. So there is a lot of comparing notes we can do between American government and Japanese government.
Let's talk about how China played into the election and her hawkish stance towards Beijing. You wrote last week that the character behind the scenes in this election was China. What did you mean by that?
Yes, it was an election between the ruling party coalition and the opposition parties, but China was on the mind of Japanese voters all time along because it was China who strongly demanded Takaichi to retract her remarks at the parliament. I'm referring to her statement, which was made November last year, and under certain conditions, Japan will regard Taiwan's Strait situation as Japan's existing threatening situation. This is a term under Japanese legal regime, which allows Japan to dispatch self-defense forces to Taiwan Strait. And China got angry and they demanded Takaichi to retract this statement, but Takaichi held on. So in other words, this was the vote of confidence on Takaichi when it comes to diplomacy vis-a-vis China. China's pressure was relentless, egregious. Not only they demanded Takaichi put back his statement, but they resorted to a number of economic coercion and political intimidation. Shockingly, Consul General in Osaka tweeted on his account that Takaichi's dirty neck will be chopped off without a moment's hesitation. I mean, this is just extraordinary. And I mean, this is rude beyond belief. But all time along, Takaichi held on, and the overwhelming number of Japanese voters supported Takaichi's stance on China. I think you describe Takaichi as hawkish, but from our perspective, we just call her a realist because we are living in a tyranny of proximity vis-a-vis the Middle Kingdom. And sometimes we have to get dumb. Sometimes we have to shake hands, but we cannot all time smile and sometimes we need to be firm and steady, solid.
She is increasing defense spending up to 2% of GDP. Are we going to see rising tensions with China? And are we going to see a more militarized Japan?
I think tension has been already risen. It was just because of China's expansion of defense budget over a number of decades. Publicly available figure, China's defense budget amounts to four times as big as that of Japan. And more than that, their belligerent rhetoric and aggression against Japanese-held islands of Senkaku are enormous. So all in all, this was a situation of China's own making. And Japan is just responding to this dire, severe security environment.
Former Ambassador, with such a massive mandate and such a massive majority, how do you think she's going to change Japan?
She is a politician of determination, and she is eager to change things for the better. As I said, she is not content with just being prime minister. So we expect a lot from her, and there is a strong, overwhelming support behind her. So I think there is a lot she can achieve, and there is a very, very high level of expectation when it comes to her possible potential achievement. So let's wait and see, but you have the best mate in Sanae Takaichi.
You think this is good for Japan-Australia relations?
There is no doubt. This is very good, not only for Japan, but also for Japan's strategic partnership with Australia. There is no doubt about it. Count on me about that.
Shingo Yamagami, a former Japanese ambassador to Australia who picked up the lingo while you were here. Thank you so much for joining us on Saturday Extra.
Well, thank you for having me, Nick.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.